we're seeing prices kind of come into the season about 3% higher than what we've seen in the past.
Holiday shopping won't be the same. It's Wednesday, November 24th, and this is VOA Asia. I'm Chris Gasquet in Washington. Find us online at VOA Asia Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. Also ahead, China's Africa investments prove popular. Danger on U.S. roadways. Deep water earthquake research. Nurses leaving the profession. Guided meditation through virtual reality. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The holiday season promises to be an extraordinary one. Experts say supply chain issues, the pandemic, inflation, and online sales will impact holiday shopping. Maxim Moskalkov has this report for VOA.
In 2021, just like the previous year, the majority of holiday season shopping will likely be done online, say experts. The ease of online shopping is one pandemic lesson. According to research by Adobe Digital Insights, sales during the 2021 holiday season could top $207 billion in the US alone. But that doesn't mean things are back to normal, according to Vivek Pandya from Adobe Digital Insights.
But because of the pandemic and because of these global supply chain issues, we're seeing prices kind of come into the season about 3% higher than what we've seen in the past. And then those actual discounts are becoming weaker. So as a result of the demand surges and more limited availability, the prices start to move up across these goods online.
And supply chain issues are prompting businesses to start cutting prices early and not waiting to start the Christmas in a mad rush on the day after Thanksgiving called Black Friday.
Retailers don't necessarily want there to be a mad rush of orders placed right before the Christmas holiday, for example, because they might not be able to fulfill those kinds of orders. So it's in their best interest to kind of shift demand earlier.
Isaac says due to supply chain problems, stores are more focused on having the most popular items in stock rather than a variety of options for consumers. Consumer psychologist Dana Hoffman says holiday shoppers may be disappointed.
I think many people in the United States anyway have this attitude that, it's kind of normal. We're back to normal. And they're going to expect that kind of normalcy maybe when they go online. I think retailers need to get ready for the onslaught of returns. So maybe more than any other time, I think there's that frustration is going to turn into a lot of disappointment.
Online shopping has also changed the concept of holiday shopping on Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving.
In the past, it was Cyber Monday, right? Black Friday, Cyber Monday. Now it's this holiday shopping. It's like Cyber November. It's Black November. There's a lack of CDL, commercial driving licensed individuals. So there's a definite labor shortage of those individuals. There's a massive labor shortage of retailers.
Experts advise consumers to be less picky choosing gifts this year and always have a plan B if something doesn't quite go according to plan. Maxim Moskalkov for VOA News, Washington.
Find more on our top story by following our Twitter stream at VOA Asia. We're also on Facebook, VOA Asia, and the VOAnews.com website. These are among the top Asia headlines you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. South Korean conservatives vow to get tougher on China. Hong Kong national security law seen as threat to non-governmental organizations. Experts say U.S. boycott of Beijing Olympics would dash Seoul's hopes for diplomacy with Pyongyang. WTA is still concerned about Chinese tennis star Peng Shuai. Red Cross official says sanctions and freeze in donations add to Afghan humanitarian crisis. Find complete coverage on all these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia, Instagram, Twitter, and on the VOAnews.com website. Thank you for listening to VOA Asia on this Wednesday. Authorities say former South Korean military strongman Chun Doo-hwan died of cardiac arrest at his home in Seoul Tuesday. He was 90 years old. Chun took power in a 1979 coup, crushing pro-democracy protests before going to prison for misdeeds while serving as president. Facing massive criticism after leaving the office in 1988, Chun took refuge for 2 years in a Buddhist temple before being arrested. He was tried for corruption, mutiny, and treason and was sentenced to death upon conviction, but he was pardoned in 1997 in a bid for national reconciliation. Economists say China's model of investment in Africa is gaining public support despite the debt burden it imposes on many countries. According to economic experts and the locals, the United States' multi-billion dollar investments in Africa are less visible and make less of an impact on people's daily lives. Victoria Amunga reports from Nairobi.
Catherine Kiura's electronic business is one of thousands in Kenya that distributes products from both China and Western countries. Kiura says her Chinese products are moving the fastest.
There's first quality, second quality, to fifth quality. So it depends with what the customer is asking for. Because we will sell something that a customer wants. If it's a bulb for 30 shillings, I have. If it's a bulb for 50 shillings, I have.
Electronics is a target area of investment by Chinese companies in Africa. Locals say such investments are impacting their daily lives directly.
A lot of products we see in the shops are from China. Government projects, we hear, are also being run by Chinese. So even though America is investing, we haven't seen them on the ground. We hear that America has done this and that, but we haven't seen them at the grassroots.
Economists say the model of investment by foreign countries is key in the competition for influence across Africa.
China has followed its money in. Whenever it's invested, unlike other lenders, it's actually followed its projects with the engineers, sometimes even to an extreme of having their own workers. But then resulted in is you've had a very visible impact.
During his three-nation tour of Africa last week, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken said his country is investing in the continent without imposing unsustainable levels of debt. Wahoro told VOA that distinction is an important one.
If you look in the overall picture of the debt stock, and by this I mean other types of debt beyond commercial, because China has been mainly commercial debt, the West is still ahead in terms of in actual dollars on the ground, and also because if you include the Bretton Woods institutions, the World Bank and the IMF, then the totality of that bilateral and multilateral institutions, you could say the West is still, this is still the West's space.
In a bid to strengthen relations with Africa, the White House has announced it will host an African Leaders Summit in 2022. Victoria Amunga for VOA News, Nairobi.
Still to come on VOA Asia, the reasons why road fatalities are rising in the U.S. Happening now in Asia, China state media report a building housing workers from a pharmaceutical plant has collapsed in the southern Chinese province of Jiangxi, killing at least 4 people. Details on the building's age, size, and the number of injured workers were not immediately available. Stay up to date with VOA or listening to VOA Asia. Continuing now with VOA Asia, U.S. President Joe Biden is ordering 50 million barrels of oil released from America's Strategic Reserve to help bring down energy costs. The White House says he's acting in coordination with other major energy-consuming nations, including China, India, and the United Kingdom. The action, announced Tuesday, is aimed at global energy markets and also to help Americans who are coping with higher inflation and rising prices ahead of Thanksgiving and winter holiday travel. Gasoline prices are at about $3.40 a gallon, more than 50% higher than a year ago, according to the American Automobile Association. The Strategic Petroleum Reserve is an emergency stockpile to preserve access to oil in case of natural disasters, national security issues, and other events. As millions of Americans prepare to drive to see family for the Thanksgiving holiday, the number of road fatalities in the U.S. has reached the highest level since 2006 in the first half of 2021. This according to the U.S. Department of Transportation. And the reason why may have to do with the pandemic. Karina Bafrajan has the story.
An estimated 20,000 people were killed in road accidents in the first half of 2021, says the U.S. Department of Transportation's National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. That's the largest six-month increase ever recorded. Speeding is among the reasons for the higher death toll, says Adam Snyder of the Governor's Highway Safety Association.
A lot of states are reporting excessive speeding. I don't mean 10, 20 miles an hour over the speed limit. I'm talking triple-digit speeds, 120, 130 miles an hour. So we really need to get speeding under control. Impaired driving is another big issue that claims about 10,000 lives every year.
Experts say the pandemic is playing a role in traffic deaths. That's because highways were less busy and many drivers adopted a riskier style of driving. That includes using mobile phones while driving.
We were really relying on technology. And so communication was not done face-to-face. It was done over the phone with our friends and our family. It was done via texting. So I think some of this has translated to the vehicle setting where individuals are driving around and they get a text and they feel they have to respond right away.
Another reason for the rising number of accidents is that there are fewer policemen on the roads. According to Snyder, both the pandemic and the anti-police protests across the U.S. led to the dwindling number of traffic police. Just seeing police, Snyder says, can reinforce safe driving behavior.
Officers on the road can really reinforce that point and to address the most dangerous drivers, too. You know, a police officer can take a drunk driver off the road with an arrest, and that could potentially prevent a crash.
Some states like North Dakota and West Virginia have announced plans to increase the number of traffic police on the roads in December 2021. They will also display more banners reminding drivers about traffic laws and the possible tragic consequences of not following the rules. Karina Befredjian for VOA News, Washington.
VOA Asia Facebook is the choice of millions to see and read the latest stories about Asia and the United States. Follow us on VOA Asia Facebook. VOA Asia is also on Twitter and YouTube. Subscribe to all of our platforms for free. See, hear, read, and share all the latest from VOA Asia anytime. VOA Asia is your trusted source for news, information, and great features.
This news from VOA Asia. The arrest of two Indian journalists on charges of spreading communal disharmony after they went to cover violent religious attacks on Muslims by Hindu activists in the northeast Indian state of Tripura earlier this month have sparked outrage across the country. All the big stories come your way through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Welcome back to VOA Asia. Researchers in Australia have embarked on a mission to retrieve scientific data from the rugged ocean floor in the Southern Ocean, formerly known as the Antarctic Ocean, that could explain what triggers underwater earthquakes and tsunamis. From Sydney, Phil Mercer reports.
Some of the world's most violent underwater earthquakes are unleashed beneath the hostile waters of the Southern Ocean, but researchers don't know why. Sophisticated noise and motion sensors could help unlock the secrets of how tectonic plates or pieces of the Earth's crust start to collide, a process known as subduction. For the past year, an array of 27 seismometers positioned on the ocean floor has formed a giant telescope pointing to the planet's core. The instruments are now being retrieved. Professor Hrvoje Kalčić, a chief scientist from the Australian National University's Research School of Earth Sciences, hopes the study will help to explain how and why earthquakes occur.
We cannot predict when exactly they will happen, how large they will be, but we can understand better their physical mechanism, and we can also understand better the Earth structure in that area. And this is critical to predict the propagation of the seismic waves from the hypocenter of these earthquakes to any other point on the Earth's surface, including a possible generation of tsunami.
Scientists hope the study will give them a better understanding of how earthquakes and tsunamis might affect Australia and New Zealand, which lies within the seismically active region known as the Pacific Ring of Fire. The expedition is scouring some of the world's steepest underwater mountain ranges to depths of more than 3.5 miles in a remote area known as Macquarie Ridge, halfway between New Zealand and Antarctica. Researchers say the techniques could also be applied to other oceans. The international study is a collaboration with various Australian institutions, the University of Cambridge and the California Institute of Technology. The 3-week voyage began in Wellington, New Zealand on November 10. Phil Mercer for VOA News, Sydney.
This is Science in a Minute.
NASA is planning to test one strategy it hopes will prevent a devastating asteroid strike, such as the one nearly 66 million years ago that is said to have wiped out about 70% of all of Earth's living species. The mission is called the Double Asteroid Redirection Test, or DART, and it's scheduled to launch no earlier than 0621 UTC on Wednesday, November 24th. According to NASA, the DART mission will be the first test of the kinetic impactor technique that would change the motion of an asteroid in space or deflect its path away from Earth. DART's mission target is a 160-meter-wide asteroid in the binary asteroid system Didymos. NASA says the spacecraft will intercept its target sometime in late September 2022 when the asteroid is within 11 million kilometers of Earth and observable by ground-based telescopes. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
Making headlines in Asia, Navy vessels from the Philippines successfully completed a resupply mission on Tuesday at a South China Sea outpost. Its defense minister said, a day after its president rebuked China at an international summit for its blockade of the area. Stay up to date with VOA or listening to VOA Asia. Thank you for listening to VOA Asia. With the COVID-19 pandemic approaching the 2-year mark, nurses in the United States are facing a crisis. They are burned out from caring for sick COVID-19 patients, and an unprecedented number have left their jobs. VOA's Carolyn Persuti has more in this story, which begins with one nurse who took her concerns to the number one man in the nation.
When U.S. President Joe Biden stepped onto the tarmac in Scranton, Pennsylvania, he met Jen Partika. See the white note in her hand? She handed that to the president.
I did feel like it was important that he understand that the nurses are not okay.
Partika has been a nurse for 30 years. During the pandemic, nurses have worked nonstop and are still stretched thin. Partika lost a colleague to suicide and has seen extreme exhaustion.
We have been absolutely tapped. We have been, fighting this fight. We did not expect it to go on so long.
That has led to a nursing shortage.
I've had a 50% turnover in the past year.
The official recommendation is a 1-to-2 ratio of nurse to patient in the intensive care unit. Partika says a nursing shortage is making it 1-to-3.
That's the only way you get to go to ICU now, is if you're really, really like the sickest of the sick, because there's no bed for you. So tripling those patients is incredibly, dangerous.
And that has led to burnout in the hospital emergency room.
I was just crying so inconsolably, and I couldn't stop. It was a full body cry.
G, who asks that we only use her first name, had a panic attack while on the job. It temporarily paralyzed her ability to speak and function.
All of a sudden, I couldn't fill out a simple form. My brain was not making connections in the same way.
The nurse became the patient. She now sews scrub caps for healthcare workers as part of her recovery after spending a week at a psychiatric hospital for PTSD. G says she wasn't the only nurse being treated there. As if COVID isn't enough, nurses here in Philadelphia and from several other U.S. cities are facing an onslaught of patients from yet another menace. The murder rate is skyrocketing. VOA spent several hours on the streets with Philadelphia police. This is a double shooting.
I got another one up here, Sean.
Police regularly load victims into their cruisers instead of waiting for ambulances. Some weeks, the slayings equal the number of COVID-19 deaths.
Every single day is like combat levels of casualties coming through our doors.
Alex Caspin works as a nurse at a Philadelphia hospital. After she developed a panic disorder, she was moved from the ER to a pediatric floor, which she says saved her life.
There was a point in time where I felt like I was not present for my family. I was giving my all to my patients, but I don't think that there was much left over for me.
When medical work affects a nurse's well-being, experts call it compassion fatigue. The U.S. healthcare system is fighting a nearly two-year battle with no ending in sight as nurses leave hospital bedsides and emergency rooms for less stressful work, many carrying their guilt with them.
One way or another, I would not be able to continue with this job. And I loved being an emergency room nurse. I really loved being an emergency room nurse. I think it was my true calling.
Carolyn Persuti, VOA News, Philadelphia.
Finally on VOA Asia, virtual reality has become common in online games, but it's also being used in another realm, guided meditations. Dina Mitchell has the story.
With the bright lights and dings of technology constantly calling to us, the practice of quieting the mind through meditation can be tricky. But a new virtual reality app called Trip promises to help users get there. Trip CEO Nanea Reeves spoke to VOA over Zoom.
I've been working in the video game industry for a long time, and my interest in technology really stemmed organically from playing video games.
Reeves, who learned meditation from a therapist, said she was inspired to create a virtual reality mental wellness app after she felt mentally refreshed trying out early prototypes of Facebook's Oculus VR headset. Her firm creates its own virtual reality experiences, with animators and sound designers lending their talents. Trip's main offerings are Focus Trips, which, as it suggests, helps users quickly get their minds to focus, and the Calm Trip for deeper guided meditation. Here's Reeves again.
Instead of telling you to inhale and exhale, we actually show you your breath. And we position it so as you exhale, it sounds close to your mouth. And these little star crystals come out of your mouth.
Trip offers over 30 virtual environments, both 360-degree videos and animated graphics. There are also binaural audio experiences that produce sounds at different frequencies for each ear, a sensation Reeves says helps with stress and anxiety. But the app is only meant to help guide users to a calmer headspace, not replace a traditional meditation practice, she says. Pritam Tara, who heads up customer marketing at Trip and also happens to be a Kundalini yoga and meditation teacher, said the VR app is also finding an audience with many who have never meditated.
It's really reaching more of a gamer audience and more of a tech audience just by the nature of who has these devices.
A quick way to immerse yourself in the present, even if it's a virtual one. Dina Mitchell for VOA News.
Read and see more on this story at VOA Asia Facebook. That's all the time we have for today's VOA Asia. Make sure you find us on all our social media platforms. Like us on Facebook, VOA Asia. Follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia. You can also find us on Instagram, YouTube, and at voanews.com. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our service chief, Diane Gao. Our VOA Asia team includes Jim Stevenson, Keith Lane, Amy Hybels, and Jessica Stone. I'm Chris Cascao in Washington. Enjoy the day, stay safe, and be well.